Welcome to Test All Things. Test All Things is an outreach of Tower to Truth Ministries, and I'm your host, Fran Sankey. You can find us on the web at towertotruth.net. Test All Things is a Bible discernment evangelistic program dedicated to creating an awareness of and biblical answers to false religious teachings opposing Christianity today. Did you ever wonder if you blasphemed the Holy Spirit or committed the sin unto death recorded by John? Maybe you don't even know what those are, so how would you know if you committed them? Today's study focuses on these two scriptures that have confused Christians at least ever since I've been saved. So let's try to figure these two scriptures out. The first one I'll read is from 1 John 5, verse 16 and 17. If anyone sees his brother sinning a sin which does not lead to death, he will ask, and he will give him life for those who commit sin not leading to death. There is sin leading to death. I do not say that he should pray about that. All unrighteousness is sin, and there is sin not leading to death. The second text is from Matthew chapter 12, verse 31 and 32. Therefore I say to you, every sin and blasphemy will be forgiven men, but the blasphemy against the Spirit will not be forgiven men. Anyone who speaks a word against the Son of Man, it will be forgiven him, but whoever speaks against the Holy Spirit, it will not be forgiven him, either in this age or in the age to come. To start with, I don't think that these two scriptures are related at all. I believe they're speaking about two completely different sins committed by two completely different kinds of people, the first a believer and the second a non-believer. Let's begin at 1 John 5. John writes about anyone who sees his brother sinning a sin. Notice first, this text is dealing with a believer, a brother in the Lord. And you know, it's very interesting to me that John doesn't focus on the sin leading to death here, but on the sin not leading to death. It's as if John is writing about the lesser sin and says, by the way, there is sin leading to death, but I'm not talking about that one. It's almost a parenthetical statement. It's like someone saying to you, you know, there's something that will make you poor, and by the way, there's something that will make you an instant millionaire, but let's talk about the thing that will make you poor. You know, our human nature wants to talk about the thing that will make us millionaires because that's much more exciting. So when we read this passage, we tend to focus on the sin leading to death, even though it's not really the subject matter of John's text. So anyway, there are two sins listed in this verse, a sin leading to death and a sin not leading to death. First, let me say all sin leads to physical death, right? Because the wages of sin is death. The reason why we die is because we're sinners. We're reaping the consequence of our sinful nature. And secondly, all unrepentant sin, all sin not covered under the blood of Christ, will lead to another type of death, spiritual death or hell. But what type of sin is John talking about here? Well, I don't believe a Christian can die spiritually and end up in hell. A Christian has been forgiven of all sin, past, present, and future, so I believe this sin leading to death is referring to physical death. Again, although all sin ultimately leads to physical death, the question is, can a Christian commit sin where God will take his life from him? I'm not talking about losing your salvation, but can a Christian sin to the point where God loses his patience and ends his physical life on earth? And let me first say that if you're still alive and breathing air, you haven't committed this sin. And if you don't think God ever did such a thing, here are some examples in the Bible where God ended a person's life because of their sin. Nadab and Abihu, the priests, the sons of Aaron, in Leviticus 10, they offered profane fire before the Lord, an unlawful sacrifice. Fire went out from the Lord and consumed them. How about Korah and 250 of his men? They rebelled against the authority of Moses and Aaron that God instituted, and the ground swallowed them up, killing them. Numbers 16. Achan was stoned to death for coveting and stealing a Babylonian garment in Jericho. He stole an unclean thing that defiled the camp of Israel. That's in Joshua 7. How about the New Testament? Ananias and Sapphira, Acts chapter 5, lied to the apostles, lied to the Holy Spirit, lied to God, and kept back part of the money that they received for a possession that they sold. They were immediately struck dead. And the last example I'll give today are Christians who were disrespecting the Lord's Supper, eating and drinking in an unworthy manner, Paul writes about them in 1 Corinthians 11. That's why he says, many are weak and sick among you, and many sleep or die. So there is a time when a believer can cross the line and God's patience runs out. He did say in Genesis 6, my spirit will not always strive with men. Well, it can be argued whether or not all of the above examples were true believers. However, they did at least theoretically believe in the one true God. Although the Bible doesn't give us a convenient list of sins that lead to death to avoid, it's been demonstrated by the above examples that a believer can cross the line and bring on himself mortal consequences. Someone once said that God usually brings a Christian home and then crowns them. Sometimes he crowns them first and then brings them home. I should also say that if you're a Christian and worried about this sin, well, maybe you should examine yourself and make sure you're living right before the Lord. Also, remember, important, that as long as you're alive, God delights in forgiveness, and God will delight to forgive you if you confess before him and repent. So, the sin unto death seems to be a sin, whatever variety it may be, that crosses God to such a degree that he decides to end that believer's life. The second text that many Christians struggle with is from Matthew 12, verse 31 and 32. I read it before. Therefore I say to you, every sin and blasphemy will be forgiven men, but the blasphemy against the Spirit will not be forgiven men. Anyone who speaks a word against the Son of Man, it will be forgiven him, but whoever speaks against the Holy Spirit, it will not be forgiven him, either in this age or in the age to come. Now, I don't believe this text is related at all with the sin leading to death. First of all, it doesn't have to do with physical death, but spiritual death, being in a state of being unable to be forgiven. This is not a state that a Christian can ever be in. Remember, even though God may take a believer home sooner, all sin a believer commits is ultimately forgiven because Christ died for all sin. Well, to figure this difficult verse out, we must look at the surrounding context. What happened before Jesus made the statement? Well, in Matthew 12, it says that Jesus healed a demon-possessed blind and mute man, and the multitudes marveled and asked, could this be the Son of David, or could this be the Messiah? But when the Pharisees heard it, they said, this fellow does not cast out demons except by Beelzebub, the ruler of the demons. You know, we couldn't get a more opposite response. One group is marveling, wondering if Jesus is the Messiah. The other group of religious folks is crediting Jesus' miracle, which they couldn't deny, with being not a work of God, but a work of the devil. And since miracles can only come from two sources, God or Satan, the Pharisees, in their constant attempt to thwart Jesus, chose the latter, showing, and this is very important, the hardness of their hearts against a genuine work of God done in their midst through the power of the Holy Spirit. Jesus went on to give the Pharisees a common sense response. He said, every kingdom divided against itself is brought to desolation, and every city or house divided against itself will not stand. And if Satan cast out Satan, he is divided against himself. How then will his kingdom stand? Did you ever see a football team whose players deliberately tackled each other or ran the wrong way when they caught a pass? Or a business who deliberately gave their customers to the competition? No. Well, that will be ridiculous. If you want to succeed, you work in cooperation with one another, right? Jesus is saying the same thing. How can Satan gain any ground if he's casting himself out, if he's in competition with himself? Then Jesus went on to say, therefore I say to you, every sin and blasphemy will be forgiven men, but the blasphemy against the Spirit will not be forgiven men. First of all, what is blasphemy? It's to speak evil of God, to defame his character, or to hold up a hand against him. Can this sin be forgiven according to Jesus? Yes. He said every blasphemy will be forgiven. Blasphemy is a forgivable sin. Paul wrote this in 1 Timothy chapter 1. He said, I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who has enabled me, putting me into the ministry, although I was formerly a blasphemer. But there is one type of blasphemy that cannot be forgiven, either in this age or in the age to come. That is the blasphemy against the Holy Spirit. Well, what is that? You know, a while back, there was a group of atheists who issued something called the Blasphemy Challenge. They would encourage people, mostly young people, to videotape and put themselves on the internet saying something like, "I deny the Father, I deny the Son, and deny the Holy Spirit," thinking they just blasphemed the Holy Spirit and they were going to hell. Well, sorry guys, this is not the blasphemy of the Holy Spirit. I believe, according to the context of the verse, that the blasphemy of the Holy Spirit is committed by those who see firsthand the works of Jesus done through the power of the Holy Spirit and with full knowledge and sound mind deliberately, continually, and hard-heartedly reject Jesus and attribute the workings of the Holy Spirit to the work of Satan. It is not failing to stick up for Jesus on a bad day. It is not having doubts about the existence of God or doubting that God loves you. It's a conscious, willful rejection of the obvious plain works of Jesus and going so far as to call them demonic in origin. You don't blaspheme the Holy Spirit by accident, but with a full, hard-hearted denial in response to full divine revelation. It's a final, hard-hearted position against Christ, and if you committed this, you'd be so adamantly opposed and hardened to the things of God that you wouldn't be sitting around worried that you did it. And by the way, many theologians feel that it's really impossible for anyone to blaspheme the Holy Spirit today because Jesus is not physically present doing miracles in front of our eyes for anyone to willfully reject in such a first-hand way. If you're interested in a copy of this teaching, get in touch with me. My email is help@towertotruth.net, and my phone number is 610-513-5525. Let me tell you that phone number again. It's 610-513-5525. And for more information on cults such as Jehovah's Witnesses, Mormons, you can find information on Christian Science, on Islam. You can find all of my radio shows on my website. Let me give it to you again. It's towertotruth.net. You can go there and you can listen to them online, or you can go there and you can download them. So check it out. Check out my website, towertotruth.net, full of good information. And listen, be a Berean out there. Check the scriptures. Make sure you know why you believe what you believe. Many people believe, but a lot of people don't know why they believe what they believe. If you learn why you believe, you will be a tool that God can use to share with others, perhaps bringing somebody into a relationship with Jesus Christ to see them saved. And that's a wonderful thing. That's why we are on this earth, to share the gospel of Jesus Christ, to witness to those who are still lost, still on their way to hell, and they just don't know it. So, for more info on this, you can give me a call, 610-513-5525. Give me an email, help@towertotruth.net, or my website, towertotruth.net. And don't forget to tune in next week for another apologetic issue facing Christianity today. And remember, don't just believe everything you hear, but test all things.